The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club.
Gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, Banter Club proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world. The Angel of Death 6XL joining me as always.
Is I, your other half of the longest reigning Ramble Mania tag team champions of all the times. And of course, your former 10-time Ramble Mania champion. 10. Damn it. 10 of those
former,
things.
Former, goddammit.
Yeah, former. But 10 of those things, soon to be 11. It is I, TJ the Great. TJ the Great.
Put yourself in the sim.
I'm in there.
He is in the sim. You're the only one that's not in it.
Get and off my dick.
And I am also soon to be your 11-time Ramble Mania heavyweight champion once we get this sim underway. But I am your former 10-time Ramble Mania heavyweight champion. I am Hazel the Eye Zombie.
Yes, indeed. And of course, this is the Banter Club where we discuss AEW Dynamites on the Hoes Network. It's not there, but you know where the hoes at. They out here.
Yo, that shit made me feel mad weird. Hearing Hazel say his name without saying double I, Z-O-M-B, double I.
He's from the N.
I know, but it just, I'm so used to that I'm like, the fuck was that? It's like half of your shit was missing. I'm like,
what the fuck? He's holding on. He's concealing his power for now.
To the end.
Yeah.
Then he's going to put his hands in his pockets.
Yes. Like you do. Of course, we discuss Dynamite. Before we discuss Dynamite, we talk about the news in and out and about the world of pro wrestling. And I mean, we got right now in the pro wrestling world, there's a lot of rumors about what might be going on in a lot of different cases. And the big rumor right now is that Warner Brothers Discovery is set to do their upfronts next week at the Hulu Theater in Madison Square Garden, right here in New York City.
Oh, shit.
And, of course, AEW being a current property under the WBD umbrella is set to be a part of that announcement. If you don't know what the upfronts are usually where the network goes and announces, this is all our content in the upcoming season. Come watch the new stuff we got coming out on our networks and so on and so forth.
Come Tuesday.
And Wednesday and Thursday and all the other days.
Come Tuesday.
But AEW is set to be a part of that with what is rumored to be a re-up on their current TV rights deal with AEW. And the announcement of, obviously, the long rumored now Saturday show, AEW Collision. There's a lot of rumors about, you know, what AEW could potentially get in out of this. But the concrete thing that seems to be locked in right now is they're getting a lot more money than they were before. Like, we've been talking about this whole time, Six. Like, every damn week on the show,
we talk
about when the TV deal comes up, they're going to get more money. We've been saying that, and it looks like that time has come.
Supposedly, it's going to be 5 times their current deal.
Yes.
Dave's been telling me about this. Also, when we do the watch party, so he has been telling me that, like, there has been some money coming in for AEW from Warner Media and such. So I'm guessing what's going to be happening with this announcement in the Hulu Theater is probably going to be very, very interesting. And yeah, it is going to revolve around what's going to be happening now Saturdays with the Collision show coming up. That's the reason why they got this huge money deal to begin with.
Regardless of what the number is, because there's a lot of rumors about what the specific number is, but regardless of what it is, if it is a big increase of at least 5 times their current rate, then it's more proof to the fact of what AEW has done in its 4 years of existence. 5 years ago, yes, AEW did not exist, and it was inconceivable that a pro wrestling company in North America could get a TV deal worth hundreds of millions of dollars other than WWE. There was nobody but WWE that could do that 5 years ago. And now here we are in 2023 with an alternate company that within less than 5 years has been able to pull that off. As we talked about last week, 60,000 sold already to Wembley, well on their way to probably selling that bitch out.
Yo, that's scary. Yo, this is big, bro. This is bigger than when WWE went to Wembley, and this is bigger than when fucking, I don't know, like, WWE hasn't done anything like this in a while, bro.
I think this is bigger than the first All-In show, because, you know, someone wrote to Dave those years ago, said, do you think, like, you know, wrestlers in Ring of Honor or outside of that could sell 10,000 seats in the arena? Dave was like, absolutely not. And Cody took that bet. And he sold out All-In. We saw that shit within our very eyes when we saw that event together.
My question is, who went up to Tony and said, yo, Wembley? And Tony looked back and said, bet.
You take that bet.
Yeah, like, where did he get the idea to do it?
And I feel like somebody told him and he said, bet.
I just feel like Tony Khan is having his little Herb Abrams moment without the substance abuse and all that shit. Because I'm not saying this is like a lucky thing for him, because he's been wanting to do a show in the UK for a minute, whether if it was Dynamite, Rampage, the new show coming out, or pay-per-view. What a bigger way to have AEW go global than a fucking pay-per-view. And they're about to do another one in Canada with Forbidden Door in the next couple months. Next month, actually.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about with the Backlash review. Like, pro wrestling right now was on a hot streak of these big international shows. You know, WWE had Backlash and AEW's got Forbidden Door coming up, then All In. Like, it's a hot ticket this year outside of the U.S.
Yo, aren't they doing Money in the Bank in London?
They're doing it in the O2 Arena in July. They're doing it because they want to get rid of, because we all know what's coming up next within this month is that fuck show in that fuck country.
That's why they want to get over it.
O2 is like 20,000, right?
We have to get that done and over with because, you know, world title tournament and all that shit. What do you mean 20,000 for the arena in Saudi?
No, for the O2 Arena in London.
The O2 Arena, I think that, like, when's the last time? They did it at Clash of the Castle. Am I right?
No, that was in Cardiff.
That was in Cardiff, Wales. O2 Arena, I think, maybe 20,000?
That was the home of the bastard.
Yes. Yeah, it's 20,000. Capacity 20,000.
Well, actually, yeah. The home of Wade Barrett.
Yes, Wade Barrett.
Bad news.
Nigel said he might bring the boots back out.
Yep, I heard that.
I
heard supposedly he brought back, supposedly there was like a trademark that he had, and they saw that it was registered once again for the first time since, like, I think it was like 2015, 2000, something like that.
It's crazy. It might be that, yo, if Nigel is getting in that ring, rumors already have it that Ospreay is definitely booked. And I mean, we could have guessed that, but Ospreay is probably going to be booked for All In.
No, I did hear about Ospreay possibly being booked for All In.
I also heard that the supposed brand split that they're doing is not going to be as heavy as we thought, which is crazy because a few weeks ago I heard that it was going to be heavier than we thought. But supposedly they're just going to keep a certain somebody away from everybody else.
it's actually kind of interesting. We're going to talk about it on the show with the people that showed up.
We talk about that later. And suppose they're going to keep certain people away from certain people, and that's how they're going to do it.
That's what I heard also. Like, I heard the rumor at first that, like, oh, there's going to be a huge break. I think me and TJ talked about it on one of the Raw streams. Like, oh, we heard that there might be this huge draft. And only reason they're doing it is just to keep certain people separate from one another. But then it's like, that's stupid because then you're going to start making fucking more belts for another promotion.
After watching this show, what I'm starting to think is it's not really going to be a brand split as it's just going to be like, there's certain people
that
you're going to see on that show more often than you're going to see on the other on show, the other and show. So on and so forth.
Exactly. So in other words, like, let's say they're going to need Sammy on this show. Let's say they're going to need Sammy on Dynamite, right?
Yeah.
On Collision, they'll have Andrade. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then let's say they're going to have Thunder Rosa on this show. They'll keep whoever the fuck she beefing with away over there.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
And then, yeah, swap it vice versa. Like, yeah. It's just not like you'll like CM Punk and the Elite, let's say.
Yeah, but then you'll have the Elite, you won't get Punk. But on the night you get Punk, you won't get the Elite. Yeah,
but then where does that leave Rampage in this whole scenario?
Supposedly, that's going to be either completely clipped or just left as is and just have it as...
Like, they've already clipped Dark and Dark Elevation.
Yeah, but I think now Tony is at a point where with the WB, with this deal coming up, he's going to, you know, have to recalibrate how he does a lot of the content. Cause like we talked about, they're going to have exclusivity, which is why the darks are done. Cause it's going to be all, anything that AEW airs is going to be on WB, network or programming.
So what I heard too is that they're going to keep, Battle of the Belts. So what's going to happen is probably most likely is, they'll keep Rampage just so that they can air Battle of the Belts right after it. And
like, I say make Rampage a YouTube exclusive, and then you could have Battle of the Belts. I don't know. Show
no,
up
no more, no more, no more.
You can't do
no
YouTube more. Exclusives anymore. Yep.
They're all WB now.
Okay, yeah. So they can't. All right, so that's understandable.
And I mean, they get paid for Rampage, so you know, I think they can keep it where it is and as it's working. And I mean, you know, we talk about the Rampage ratings going up and down, but we also got to think about, comparatively, what would be in that spot versus it and how it does in that regard.
It would usually just be reruns and sitcoms, which are not doing well right now.
Yeah, yeah, apparently the Big Bang Theory still gets fucking ratings every week.
I don't know how, but...
Nobody knows how, but it's still popular for people to watch.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I guess people just... It's on TV and people will watch it.
I mean, I got Raw ratings on here.
You want to do the Raw ratings before I do these Dynamites ratings?
It's been a while since I do Raw ratings because I don't do it on a goddamn live stream as I used to. Raw this week, pretty solid show for what they try to do, especially with the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament. The viewership was a 1.79 million with an 0.51 in the 18 to 49 demo. Had the strongest second hour while the viewership was down in the third and first hour single-handedly because of the Golden State Warrior LA Lakers game, which did a 7.52 million viewership against the third hour of Raw. Hour one from 8 p.m. going into 9 p.m. was 1.78 million viewers. Second hour, which was the highest viewership, almost up 2 million viewerships, but it was 1.91 million viewers from hour 9, second hour from 9 p.m. to 10, and then 10 p.m. going into 11, it dropped from 1.67 million viewers. Raw was fourth on cable on that night, beating everything except the NBA playoffs on TV, TNT, the New York Knicks, and the Miami Heat. Against the first 2 hours, did 4.56 million viewers and a 1.53 in the 18 to 49 demographic, while the Warriors and the Lakers did a 2.7 million viewerships in the 18 to 49 demo.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I don't watch it, but, you know.
It was a stellar show.
Sounds like good numbers.
I heard it was decent. I actually heard it was decent.
With the tournament, the return of Brock, we're going to get him and Cody and Saudi and all that other shit.
I heard that shit was hilarious. I heard the crowd was actually silent, and they put on fucking fake noise to make some noise, and it sounded like fucking shit.
That did happen. That did fucking happen. That was kind of a letdown.
Supposedly, the crowd was not with it for Brock and Cody, and they were deathly silent. And Triple H is like, slowly turn up the volume on that fucking crowd noise right quick, please.
You know, Seth Rollins won the tournament he didn't win the tournament. He won the Raw side of the tournament. So he's going to be in the finals going into Saudi. Now we got to wait till SmackDown to see who's going to be facing off against Seth at Night of Champions for the vacant World Championship.
Okay. Shout out, Seth.
I want Seth to win that.
I want him winning that shit.
Hazel is adamant that he wants him chasing.
Yes.
I want him to win it just so that Cody can get the fuck on with his life. I don't want you know what I'm saying? If a babyface wins it, then, you know.
Bro, he's going to get on with his life when he wins that title from Roman at Mania 40.
Is Seth a babyface?
I'm going to keep saying it.
Seth is a babyface.
Okay. Yeah, he is. He actually is, which is fucking weird.
He's the Joker. You can't deny it, baby.
Because like, how did the turn happen?
He just got over, and then they were like, "Well, well, fuck it, you're a good guy now."
Yeah, the crowd was just like, "Yo, we like this crazy shit that you're doing."
Fucking Puerto Rico let us reminded us, "Yo, he's a face now." Yeah, because they was
that's the Joker, almost kicked
him in the back of the dome.
They almost was like, "Fuck out of here with all that bullshit."
Almost had the Glock.
Yo, almost is fucking cool, man.
I told you. After seeing him wrestle these last two matches, and I'm like, yo, he's not bad.
Yeah.
And he's entertaining as fuck. So I'm like, I like this dude.
It's like, yeah, as long as you keep him doing simple shit, he can he can do, then
plus we gave this man his praise when we did the recap on After Raw.
Yo, when he went for that curb stomp and he held his neck there, I was like, oh. Like, he's doing cool shit. They're letting him be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, shout out to Triple H because I'm pretty sure it's him.
I mean, Vince has sometimes been good at booking cool big guys. His heels.
Yeah. One cool big guy.
Diesel.
Don't say Paul
Diesel,
White.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Diesel.
But I was going to say Kevin Nash, but yeah.
Diesel was cool as fuck.
Yeah. I'll let that slide. I'll let it slide.
Diesel was cool as hell. You know that.
He was great as a heel.
Yeah, as a heel, he was super cool. He got so cool that he turned face. And then that's the problem.
Face, yeah.
When you turn when they turn face in WWE, and then they that's usually the title. Problem.
That was the problem.
What a pittance.
So never turn almost face. AEW Dynamite ratings. Dynamite averaged 877,000 viewers, up 13% from last week. Best audience since March 22nd against some stiff competition. So this is actually, within context, a very good number. In 1849, they are ninth on the cable charts with the 3-2 rating, up 14% from last week. Again, considering, you know, all the competition, which I'm about to go over, this is a good number. So here's what they had to go up against. The usual. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Vanderpump rules. And then
fucking Vanderpump, my nigga.
They out here. They
every
are out
every
here.
Week, bro. Every week.
Vanderpump,
just like,
they
how
are
the
out here.
The fuck are y'all doing this?
It can't be stopped.
Pump it up. Just please.
And then CNN also was in the top this week because there was a town hall with our former president, Donald Trump.
Boo.
So, you know.
Boo this man.
Fuck that guy.
Mr. MAGA man, usually he pulled you. He's a ratings draw, brother.
I'm booing everybody, though, at this point. Like, I'm booing Biden. I'm booing Eric Adams. I'm booing Trump. Yeah. I'm like, fuck. Politicians right now is taking L's because they suck right now. They've been taking L's for years.
They fucking clowns, son. They're not politicians. They entertainers.
You heard they arrested Jordan Neely's killer?
Yes, yes. They arrested the guy that killed Jordan Neely on the train. And, you know. Hopefully there are serious charges brought against him.
An arrest is not enough for us to get the justice that we deserve. Yeah. We need an actual prison sentence. Like not a lot of people. A lot of people want the death penalty back in New York, which I'm not saying I'm all for it, but that's on y'all. You know, some of us just want the justice that we deserve, and that if it's him doing time in prison, then let him do his time.
He needs to pay his debt for that, because Jordan Neely should not have died on that train on that day.
Yeah, regardless of how you feel about Jordan Neely, you don't kill people.
That said, the Dynamite numbers up against all this stiff competition, very, very good, considering that they were up considerably over the last few weeks up against this crazy competition. Speaks to the fact that when AEW builds a marquee show, and, you know, this show had two other top guys in the main event, their audience will come. You build it, they will come.
All right, Zay.
Yeah. with that, it'll be interesting to see how the rating fares next week as well, with the big announcement and with all the you know, big hooks that this week provided.
Man, he's not on this show.
Well, Hook wasn't on the show, but there was a lot of...
Bring us Hook!
We'll probably be on Rampage.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dynamite rating was good. So shall we get to the Dynamite itself and talk about what's going on?
Yes, sir!
Yes, indeed.
Are you ready?
Oh, I believe I'm ready.
No!
I'm ready.
I said, are you ready?
I am ready.
I'm ready.
Then, for the thousands in attendance, and the millions watching at home, and for one redeemer,
shout out to his wife.
Yes.
Stop talking about people's wives.
Let's get ready to banter.
AEW Dynamite from Detroit, Michigan, home of the Pistons.
Hey, they did Blood and Guts here last year.
Yes, also home of last year's Blood and Guts. And the Little Caesars Arena, that's where the show is taking place. Home of the Pizza Pizza.
We're still talking about, we want to know if they serve good-ass Pizza Pizza in Pizza Arena.
He said yes, so that we got to go to the Little Caesars Arena and see how the Little Caesars is hitting at that arena.
TJ, remember for the Rumble 1 year, I went and got fucking Little Caesars?
Yeah, it was like what, like 13 Domino's pies and like one Little Caesars pie?
Yeah.
The show opens up, Double Jeopardy. Claudio Castagnoli, the Ring of Honor champion, versus one half of the Ring of Honor tag team champions, Rey Fénix. Double Jeopardy, of course, means if I win, I get to wrestle for your title. So Claudio wins, he wrestles for the tag titles. Fénix wins, he wrestles for the world title. So, of course, you know, we open this thing up Rampage style. Both guys in the ring ready to go. No entrances, no nothing. Fénix goes double springboard into a diving Rana, then follows with a double set of toe pays, and he goes for one more. But then Claudio catches him and throws him right into the barricade. A fucking monster is Claudio Castagnoli. Then he goes for a delayed vertical up the steps, but Fénix fights him off, and Claudio's forced to dump him into the crowd. So Fénix comes back, walks the barricade for a Rana. So Claudio comes back, dumps him into the crowd again as we go to picture in picture. Now we come back. Fénix goes for a code red, but Claudio counters by popping him back over his shoulders and hits a big lariat for a near fall. And then he takes him, throws him back over the top rope. Most of this match is fucking when Claudio gets mad at Fénix getting too much offense. He just picks him up and throws him.
Yep, like, because he's this, like, to be honest. When I even heard the announcement of this match, I said, fucking Claudio's going to eat him.
Yep.
And Rey Fénix is out here doing shit. So it keeps frustrating him because even he knows that that's what we're thinking. So he's like, fuck, man. There's got to be a way with this motherfucker. But Rey Fénix is better than even most of us can give him credit for.
Both of these competitors in the ring, you can see, you know, with this gimmick that they added, because this was the first that I've heard of this. And this was actually pretty interesting. God damn it, will Scott Steiner shut the hell up?
It was a good ass match!
If you hear me!
But you could see the tenacity that these two competitors have with the Double Jeopardy gimmick being added on here, because it's like, all right, Ray wins, he gets the world title. Claudio wins, he picks someone of his choosing to go after the Lucha Bros for the tag belts. So this was pretty much a good high-stakes match for what they try to pull off.
Yeah, love the stakes being added to it. This was one of the matches I wanted for Claudio when, you know, the news of him first leaving WWE broke. Like, God, I want Claudio Castagnoli and Rey Fénix. And here we are. We living good. We eating.
We ain't good on this AEW side.
We
eating
good out here.
We eating good in Ring of Honor, though.
Facts.
Yeah, we good at Ring of Honor.
Like, these are two Ring of Honor guys, technically speaking. Champions.
Yep, and they're fighting for two Ring of Honor titles.
Yeah. So, We come back. Claudio takes Phoenix off the top with a gut wrench for a near fall. And Claudio hits the Alpermare water slide that gets another near fall. Follows up with the big hammer and anvil elbows. Then locks him in. Goes for the Ricola. Ricola bomb. Gets the 1, 2, and 3. Giving Claudio the win and the BCC a tag title shot.
Hell yeah, man. This is fun. You know what's sad? That AEW has more synergy with Ring of Honor than WWE ever has had with NXT. That's fucking sad.
It's still happening. Like, even with Triple H supposedly being the guy that runs all of it now.
Yeah, no. You know, it's really...
I know.
That other guy.
I know. Now, hear me on this. With this match ending being, like, one of the craziest openers ever. First of all, my favorite spot will have to be... This man does a tope. Claudio just grabs him gorilla press style, chucks him into the fucking crowd.
Like he was a dart.
Every time he got too much in, he was like, all right, enough.
But it just showed that, you know, fucking Claudio has that true feat of strength that no one else, like, he's a true strongman indeed. And the fact that he could pull off all these crazy maneuvers against small guys, luchadors, including big guys, it amazes me. But since he won this match, now hear me out on this. He's getting a tag team title shot. This might be what we're going to be watching later on. Now, he is part of the BCC. We know Moxley ain't going to get involved because he AEW for life. Danielson got other shit taken care of. Yuta's a piece of shit. There's only one person that I know for guaranteed.
He's a little shit. Yes.
There's only one person that I know for guaranteed would team up with Claudio Castagnoli, would bring back wrestling to its purest of forms. And I'm talking about Chris Hero. We need our hero back. We need Kings of Wrestling back.
Stop shaking your entire room.
This serious business, Chris Hero. You're trying serious. To get the Kings of Wrestling here at AEW.
I'm over here like, bro, you know that if you do that with my sick ass right now, I'm over here like.
Don't worry, it's not an earthquake, but I'm just saying. Like,
I'm over here like Bobble D.
No.
Looking Bobby Lashley.
we need our heroes in wrestling, and Chris Hero is the only solution for him to go back teaming with Claudio Castagnoli. I mean, the history that these two had as Kings of Wrestling with the Ring of Honor tag belts. They've had great matches with the world's greatest tag team, Benjamin and Charlie Haas. You know,
Kings of Wrestling versus Lucha Bros would go stupid. Like, and that would go crazy. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Death by European uppercuts and elbows versus Lucha God. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would go stupid. I would Chris Hero versus Penta? Nah. You selling me.
Fuck that. Let's get Chris Hero versus Kingo.
You selling me. It's crazy. I don't know what's up with Chris Hero, if he's even active still, but if he is, then maybe give him a call.
He hasn't been in WWE for 5 minutes since the whole COVID stuff. I think he got released like 2 years ago, so.
Yeah, I know he was doing like seminars and shit, but I don't know if he's active. So,
yeah,
if he's
active, that is true.
Let's see.
But we'll fuck around and find out.
Yeah, let's fuck around and find out. But we cut to the back now where we see Miro pulling up, just walking up. Like he ain't been gone for God knows how long. And Renee walks up to him.
Hey, Redeemer. Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Yeah. He just waltz up out of nowhere into Tony Khan's office. And
like, what do you mean? I work here. Yeah, Renee tries to get a word.
Last time you actually been here, motherfucker.
Yeah. I guess he too heard about the fucking the deal that they made with Warner. And he's like, yeah, I'm coming back.
You said that how much money? Oh. How much? Tony, let's talk. boss man, let me holler at you. But yeah, Renee can't even get a word with this man. He just goes directly into Tony Khan's office.
Yep, I like how they got the little plexied out Tony Khan name on the corner side. Yeah. It gives me old WWE vibes, or WWF at the time.
Facts
with Vince McMahon and shit. When it was some shit. Or Mick Foley when he had that random little stall in the middle of the what the fuck.
Yeah. Now we got the first of these four video packages tonight talking about the four pillars for their, you know, main event at Double or Nothing. The first
is, what do you want to talk about?
MJF, of course. MJF, you know, just laying out, I have absorbed the powers of Cody Rhodes, of CM Punk. I am the ultimate android. You can't defeat me, other pillars.
He thinks he's perfect cell over here.
But he talked about how, you know, the pillars, we were all arguably equally hot talents at the beginning of AEW, but in the time since, he says he's lapped them. He says, look at everything I've accomplished. Look at everybody I've beaten. And look at what you guys have done in comparison. You know, come Double or Nothing, my reign of terror, you'll see, has just begun.
Oh, my God. It's
only just begun.
It's just WWE stick after WWE stick. So what do you want to talk about? My reign of terror. Blah, blah, blah. This and there. Like, and then he compared himself and everyone else in the Four Pillars to the Beatles. Now you're just overdoing that. You're overdoing it now. You are clearly overdoing it.
I'm the Paul McCartney. I have the most longevity.
Why? Because you
still shut the fuck up, bro. Shut the fuck up. You piece of
MJF is the Yoko Ono of the Four Pillars.
Facts. You would think it's Britt Baker, but not.
No wonder why his fiance left
People like
them.
Britt Baker.
Exactly. It's you, Jeff.
But yeah, I actually like these little things throughout the night. So yeah, that was the first of them. We got FTR coming down to the ring, and they immediately called down their boy, Mark Briscoe, because they want to speak to him. But they get Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, and the gang, Sanjay Dutt, Satnam Singh. So they come down, and Sanjay's like, all we want to know is if you accept the challenge for Las Vegas, Double or Nothing. So Dax is like, you know, he speaks to the crowd. Should we accept the challenge? They all say no.
So Dax there was a mixed bag, because I heard some people cheering.
There was some no's, there was some yeses, you know how it goes. But, you know, Dax is like, you know what? We will accept the challenge if you guys admit that you're using Mark Briscoe. Then that eventually brings out Mark Briscoe himself. He comes on down to the ring. He's like, boy, simmer down. And as we can see, he got some drink with him. So then he hands out the cups to everybody. He's like, we gonna settle this like men. So let's do this right now. I spoke to Tony Khan. And you know what? We got the match in Las Vegas. You guys versus you guys for the tag team title. FTR versus Lethal and Jarrett. And he says the special guest referee will be Mark Briscoe. So they pour up. They get ready to drink, but then Jay Lethal takes a swig, immediately just spits it in Dax's face, and they start brawling. So while they're all brawling, Mark gets in the middle, tries to break it all up, but he gets pushed into Dax, who is blinded from the fucking alcohol being spit in his face. So he hits Mark Briscoe with a pile driver.
No.
The alcohol must be pretty strong to have Dax blinded.
Bruh, any alcohol you ever like by mistake ever get, like have a little bit of fucking, let's say, whiskey splash up into your eye.
I've had alcohol like sprayed in my
that
eyes
shit
and shit before.
Fucking sucks.
But if we're talking
about?
If we're talking like if this shit is like 100 proof, that's understandable.
It doesn't even need to be 100 proof, man. Alcohol in your eye sucks,
bro.
It's
alcohol, bro.
And sugar, you know, like it's irritating to your eyes.
Yeah, you're right.
But I mean, yeah, very, very old school Southern Memphis style angle, I thought. With, oh my God, blinded baby face. He attacked his friend because he couldn't see.
Let me tell you something right here.
But it worked. Crowd was all into it.
I feel like Mark Briscoe is smarter than he's letting on.
Absolutely.
I think he knows exactly what's going on here. And I think they're trying to do this little dissension angle, but I don't know. I feel like his character right now and the way shit is going, he's going to be smart enough to see through everything during that match, and he's going to fucking, he's going to do what he got to do.
Yeah, that's probably why in storyline he made himself the referee, because he's like, I'm going to stop all the bullshit in this match.
Yep.
Being right in the middle.
I know already. Yeah.
This is the second time that we're going to have a special guest referee involved in AEW match. First time we had was MJF. Forgot what match it was that he refereed. It was during this Wardlow feud that he had.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Sean Spears, right?
Yeah, I believe it was the case. Yeah, because he was the special guest ref for that when he was feuding with Wardlow. So now we get involved here. This time for a pay-per-view, it also asks the question, this whole match really determines who Mark Briscoe is really going to stand with.
Yes.
You know,
I think we know that he knows.
We know that also, but I'm just saying, you know, after that little incident that took place and he got piledrived by Dax, even though Dax was blinded by the alcohol, it's still gonna stick into his mind. Like, you know, that did happen to me, but you know, we still got the next week. Maybe Jay or Jeff Jarrett might get involved in something. And then I don't know, he'll accidentally get whacked over the head with a guitar and shit.
By the way, did you see Jeff getting pissed off at the goddamn cup?
Yeah, Jeff. He took the cup and then threw the shit away.
I'm like, yo, what a carny.
He got my whole D tight at that cup for no reason. I'm like, what the fuck that cup ever did? It fell, all right. Damn, nigga, it's not like, you know, there's, I mean, there was a match, but I mean, come on now. I'm pretty sure it's not that bad.
You know, I don't know, man. Cranky old bastard wrestlers. I love them more every time, every day.
I really enjoyed
Jeff Jarrett. Every time I watch cranky old bastard wrestlers like Jeff Jarrett.
Enjoyed Jarrett's time in AEW. Like, again, I didn't like him in WCW. I wasn't a fan of him in the WWF/E, but even in his TNA days, I'm like, this promotion is all about you. Like, we got to stop making this all about you. But now in AEW, it's so different.
That's what it is. He's not overstepping in AEW. Yes. He has a role and he's playing it.
Yes.
Yep.
And you know,
see, I feel like with Impact and whatever, or TNA at the time, he had something to prove.
Yeah.
So I felt like he was trying to go out there and do that.
You know? The only thing that he had WWE, to prove
in WWE, they you know, they kept repeating these corny fucking situations with him where he would always end up being the fall guy. And he was just kind of like, all right, I'm over this shit. And it was partially because of certain somebody. You know, even though he said that there's no beef and there's never been any beef, that people are overlooking that. But yeah. I don't know, Steve.
I mean, if Steve didn't want to work with him, Steve was the top guy.
Exactly. So it's like,
the top guy to work with you.
Exactly. So it's like, in obviously in WCW, they didn't give a fuck.
Russo loved WWE, them, so yeah.
Yeah, in WWF, Russo liked him, but, you know, there was situations going on. And then he finally has something to prove, and he's like, fuck it, I got a company where I can do that now. So I feel like that's what ended up happening with TNA. And then he ended up being in dark spaces here and there on his way over there. But, you know, shit happens, and I feel like now he's at the point where, like, all right, I've proved everything I have to prove. I've done everything I've had to do. Right now, I'm just going to have fun. And I feel like Sting is also in that same spot.
Yeah, it was like the legacy is secure. You know, my stamp in the business is, you know, is proven. I can just go out there and, you know, have fun and, you know, perform at a high level like I like doing. Now we got Renee. She's backstage with Chris Jericho. She's asking him how he feels about, you know, everything going on post being attacked by Adam Cole. And Jericho's like, this man attacked me while I was on commentary. He created an unsafe working environment. It's like I said before, Adam Cole is a coward. And you know what? I have produced a court order that says that whenever I'm in the building, Adam Cole is not allowed in the building. He's banned. So then Roderick Strong pulls up and he's like, you know what, Jericho? Since you want to ban Adam Cole from the building, since he can't be here to fight you, how about you fight me one-on-one in a false count anywhere match next week? And then Jericho's like, you know what, Roddy? I'll take you on. But you're going to learn pretty quick that, you know, when you go up against me, there's always people that have got my back. And then Roddy's like, oh, yeah, about that. He brings out his own papers.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, your boys banned from ringside next week.
Hold that.
And Jericho starts flipping through it like, is this true? Can this be?
Renee is evil, bro.
She's Renee's like, yep, that's looking
she's like that checks out.
Yep, that checks out.
She didn't even look at the contract. She just basically followed the teleprompter.
Yep, that checks out. It walks out. Oh, Renee is the greatest, bro.
That's that Mean Gene energy she be bringing.
Oh, she be slicker than the heels, bro. I love it.
Yeah. Every time the heels get fucked over, Renee be like, well, there you go. Now, Renee working tonight. And they even talk about it on commentary. We got Renee Paquette everywhere tonight. She's outside.
They had her running, bro.
Yeah, she was all over the place.
Yep.
She's outside TK's office now, where she's like, you know, Miro just popped up, and we're outside Tony Khan's office trying to see what's going on. And then Thunder Rosa walks up.
Yep.
And then she's like, seems to be the night to talk to Tony Khan. And she walks in the office and closes the door.
She want to talk to Papi Khan.
She's like, so how much money,
Tony?
Hey, Papi Khan, I got a new show going on. Keep me away from these people like, that don't like me.
So I get my championship rematch, right? I'm back. I want my rematch.
So now, yeah, I'm feeling like at this point I was like, yo, is Andrade about to pull up next? Like, yo, what's going on here? Did Tony really swing this thing and like put all like the missing people, like the Miro, Andrade, those people in? Now he's swinging this into this big angle. That's crazy.
There's only one more person left besides Andrade. That's Punk.
We got feelings about that, so we just go.
And that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like why I said earlier, I feel like Collision is going to be this thing where it's like all the outcasts or all the people that were cast out, that's going to be their show now. And they talk to Tony Khan to get it done that way. There's going to be like a storyline reason for it.
Mm-hmm. We'll get more Cole Cabana on
what kind of beat did Miro have in AEW? I thought he was perfectly fine.
I mean, we don't really know what Miro's beef was for sure because it's all been like rumors and shit, but he's been gone for a while. And
from what I heard, it's mostly just storyline things that he wasn't able to do. And, you know, supposedly because of these certain storyline angles and situations, you know, he just didn't want to be a part of these. And hopefully with the second show, you know, they can do a lot more with him and, you know, feature him more prominently where he wanted to be. So that way Tony Khan, you know, is probably like, all right, this is what we're going to do with you and we're probably going to put you up here.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, so now I got this space where I can grow. Yeah. So, you know, that's probably why whatever's going on is going on. But, you know, it's all speculation because we don't really know. We haven't spoken to the guy.
Yeah.
Also, another person that might be coming back soon that's getting me excited might be our boy Santana.
Yes.
Think about it. This would be a perfect place. Also, Eddie is finally out of surgery. That might be another way for him to be around. So it's like, this might be one of the best fucking business decisions Tony Khan has ever made. Let's find out.
Because now, like we've talked about for a while, like the roster, especially after 2021, the roster got bigger, a lot more star power. So now it feels like they might have the opportunity now to fully flesh it out and break up all the TV time and prominence among all that star power and maximize the potential it has. So... Now, it's Sammy's turn for the video.
Oh, promo. Shit. This is my moment in time.
Yes, this is my type of flight. So, man, I liked his too, but I'm really going to say it again. I need all the boys to stop. The machine didn't push me. Shit. Like, they are marketing the four of you as foundational pieces to this company. The machine is very much behind you, Sammy.
He's over here like, I'm the pillar that didn't belong. I'm the one that wasn't supposed to be here. They only put me here because I was undeniable. Nigga, they called you a pillar before you did any of the shit that you did.
Yeah. So,
fuck is you talking about, boy?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They fuck with you. It's okay to admit that. They've always fucked with you. But yeah, they did.
If not, ask Andrade. Shit.
Yeah. let's be entirely real.
ask Andrade if they fuck with you.
Ask Eddie.
Ask Eddie if they fuck with you.
Now, can I keep it a bug about these little segments? I mean, honestly, the best one out of all was Darby's, but these felt so fucking forced because all four of these competitors were not in attendance on this week's show. I get it.
Go ahead.
I get that, like, you wanna build this up, but I felt like we jumped through minimal hoops just to get to this fatal four-way, which we should have been doing in the first place instead of doing a four pillars tournament and a tag team. We should have gotten this build up, and then we could have more of these guys show up next week cutting more promos. Like, this doesn't need to do this, but I understand why they did it. I understand that. And you want to give each of them some sort of a background because, yeah, they are the four pillars of this company. If you still want to put Britt Baker amongst one of those four pillars, I'm okay with that. But this just felt to me like it was forced. Like you were forced to watch this.
I mean, I don't feel like this was forced. I feel like Every competitor, you know, even though they had their little funny little tropes here and there where I'm like, man, shut the fuck up. You know, most of the stuff that they were talking about felt and sounded genuine. It didn't feel like they were being told to read off a script. It felt like they were just kind of like, all right, so this is how I feel. You feel me? And I fuck with that, you know? Jungle Boy, he felt, you know, but that's just Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy is very calm. So his came out a little kind of meh. But, you know, I feel like, I feel like Sammy Guevara did a good job. MJF did a good job. And, I mean, Darby's Darby. He's just dark and brooding the whole time. So he's just kind of like, yeah.
But we're going to talk about Darby's because his was actually the one I liked the most, too. But we'll talk about it when it comes up. But now, yeah, we head to Tony Khan himself. They cut to Tony Khan in the back, and he puts over tonight's lineup and says, you know, even in the back, as you see, there are stars lining up to compete to AEW. So, again, it makes me feel like he's building something with all that. And then he says, you know, tune in next week as we have a big, big announcement coming up on Dynamite, which has got to be the TV deal.
My announcement was, an announcement, and that is I have an announcement to make next week.
This man announced an announcement.
That's what I was going to say, too. I was like, bro, you really came out here and said, I got an announcement to make. Next week, I'm going to make an announcement.
Yo, no, Lotto, I feel like that's how you know it's a big deal. Because you only ever see Tony Khan on TV when he has a big announcement. So for him to announce an announcement?
An announcement. It's the biggest announcement. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to announce that I'm going to make an announcement. It's going to be the biggest announcement. All right? We're going to announce that the announcement of announcing tonight, next week is going to announce the announcement of my announcement. Lit.
The Genesis.
Yo, did I kill it? Nigga, drop my mic.
And throughout that whole time that he had the mic, he did not blink. Not once.
Nah, just...
Well, it was a big announcement. Shit.
Just staring at that ass announcement,
boy. About to find the fuck out. Yeah. This announcement gonna be revolutionary, like when fucking Jadakiss invented the fucking towel bandana. Swear to God, bro. I swear.
It was a legendary moment.
This week's announcement is I have a major announcement next week, and that is going to be another announcement that I will make in 2 weeks.
Oh, no, that's...
Can you imagine? He just continues the vortex. And then in 3 weeks, I'm going to make an announcement about that announcement that's going to announce the announcement. God damn, nigga, what the fuck?
What is
you ever
happening?
Been so mad you threw one announcement at another announcement?
It made one big announcement.
And I actually talked about my divorce. And then next week I'm going to announce the closing of AEW.
Whoa.
He's married?
You over here, you spitting bullshit,
No, that's just me. If I ever get into some crazy shit.
You spitting bullshit, bro.
But yeah, like I said, got to be the TV deal. What could be bigger than, you know, the biggest content distribution deal in history for AEW? And for any company not named WWE. AEW International Championship on the line. Daniel Garcia versus Orange Cassidy. Cassidy, of course, the fightingest champion in all of AEW. And
Whoa, Jane.
The Jazz. Menaces these men. Complete menaces.
Bro, what the fuck was going on with Daniel Garcia tonight? He just wanted to hit his three dance moves over and over.
He kept doing it. Taz was so perplexed by this. He was like, walking there.
Can you stop? Like,
why do you think I sent you that fucking DM? I was watching this.
I'm like, yo, stop, bro. Just fucking stop.
I believe the kids call this getting sturdy.
There was a point in time where he got on top of a chair all the way in the corner. And he hits the fucking move. And I'm just like, my nigga. you need to relax, all right?
He was wild.
It's time to stop.
Where are your parents? They were there. They were encouraging this. 2.0, they were encouraging this. His parents encouraged this bullshit.
You should have never wrote on your fucking thing.
He's going to have to call Child Protective Service.
Is there anyone out there that could dance better salsa? That's why I wrote you that DM, just to get you a laugh.
Daniel Garcia starts out hot. He's dancing amok. He goes to put his hands in his pockets, but Orange stops him like, you do not understand this power, my son. And then he wrestles him.
Yep.
Garcia goes for a drop toe hold, but Orange escapes, and then the hands go in the pockets. He powers up.
Yes, sir.
And Garcia cuts him off, and he takes control into the pip. And then we come back from the break, where Garcia is once again doing that weird, uncomfortable dance, bro. Taz was lost on his dance.
Me and Taz was feeling the same way. I'm like, right?
Bro, why does he keep doing this, bro?
Just gyrating his hips.
That's for the New Day. Why are you doing it? But then again, he's a sports entertainer.
Damn it, bro. What are you
doing? Listen, he got the damn drill song.
Like, so hold on. Here. He wasn't doing that.
Hold on. He even did the middle finger while doing the I was like, this motherfucker, bro, stop.
I'm like, wait a minute. You wasn't doing that when you was Ring of Honor Pure Champion. Like, you had West Side Gun performing for you, my nigga. And now you're fucking gyrating your hips and shit.
Just because he got drilled out. He got to get a West Side Gun song so he could fix himself.
This nigga Jericho said, nah, you an entertainer. You ain't no wrestler. You got to stop this shit. You got to start going out there showing off your sexiness and shit.
See, what happened was, right? It sounds too much like Pop Smoke. And in his head, all he hears is,
she liked the way that I dance. She liked the way that I move. She liked the way that I dance.
Oh my nigga, shut the fuck up.
So that's why he got stuck in his head now. So he's just like
Christian Dior.
They fight up top. Garcia goes for a superplex. Orange counters into a stun dog. They trade center ring, and Garcia goes right back to the knee he's been working on all match. Orange's injured knee. He puts Orange's hands in his pockets, which, you fool, that powers him up, enables him to hit the beach break for a near fall. So Orange backs up, takes off the elbow pad, and goes for the Orange punch, but Garcia cuts him off again. Lazy kicks from Garcia, but Orange stops him and goes to put his hands in his pockets, but this time Garcia's like, no, I can't let you do it. And he grabs his hands, pulls him in for a pile driver. That gets a near fall. So Orange comes back, gets a second beach break. That gets a two. He goes for the Orange punch, but Garcia sidesteps it and then puts him in the Dragon Tamer, that beautiful sharpshooter of his. And then Orange chains it into a triangle and then a crossface from Garcia where he stomps out the hand. Shout out to Mercedes Moné, the legendary crossface stomp the hand out like he did to Bayley in the Brooklyn match.
Let me say this real quick before you continue forward. This is where it started looking believable because it was literally at that point where he was just like, I'm going to fuck every part of your body up just to make sure you don't hit me with an Orange punch or anything. All of these submissions that Daniel Garcia was doing to this man, I'm like, yo. I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. Orange Cassidy is a fighting champion indeed. And there have been some certain scenarios with certain people that he's faced off against that could have been different if they beat Orange. This was one of them. And I saw this and I had to watch this again. After you and I were done with our GM mode, I went and looked at this match again. Besides this man doing all the salsa dancing and whatnot, this match was absolutely believable and it told a story. Besides it being, oh, American versus America, it was just, can Daniel Garcia be the one to take out this man's undefeated streak while he became champion? You know, it's the same thing with Jade. It is the same thing with Jade, but here's the thing. Orange makes it feel more believable. With Jade, it's like we're still in the process of getting her to, you know, get better. And she's still getting better. But when I saw this match, I was like, yo, they really should have had Daniel win it here. I would have not cared if he lost it back to Orange at Double or Nothing. I would have been fine with him holding on to that belt for the next couple weeks.
I think you see the clear delineation at this point where you see the continuation of the story of Orange's title reign where he's getting worn down by it and it's getting closer and closer every match he has where he's starting to rely more on moves like the mousetrap and the crucifix pins. Like he's relying on, you know, basically, you know, victory rolls and flash pins to get his wins now because he's been worn down by constantly defending his belt like this. And I like how AEW does that, where a guy who, when he consistently defends his title, he eventually gets worn down by the level of competition that he always has to face.
Like when I look at all of Orange's matches, it's like watching Kenny Omega's junior heavyweight matches from before. Because Kenny was getting his ass kicked a lot, but he always came back and persevered against all the odds and still came out with a victory. And here's the thing. We all know this man's history, brawl his injuries with AEW, and I think Orange is carrying some injuries with him. since he's been, you know, All Atlantic / international champion. I feel like it's wearing Orange down. Don't get me wrong. It is wearing him down a bit, but he still has the will and perseverance to still walk out of here with a goddamn victory, even if it's not from one of his finishers.
Well, the thing with me, regardless, is that what I really enjoy about, you know, the way that this is going is the fact that it's making Orange Cassidy rely more and more on actual wrestling.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you notice, his style is getting more and more mat-based as he goes along. And it's literally because, again, he's being worn down. But because of this, we're seeing more out of Orange Cassidy than we would normally see. Like, he's legit wrestling out there. And it's like, wow, man, this motherfucker went from being a guy where a lot of people are like, oh, he's just a gimmick. And then he's coming out here night in and night out and fucking starting to show more and more and more how this motherfucker is.
Speaking of gimmicks, have you noticed that he's been doing less and less of it?
I mean, so far in these matches, yeah. But I think that's also part of that story. Yeah. I feel like once, you know, I guess the title gets removed from him or he gets, you know, injured or, you know, like kayfabe injured or whatever happens, you know, where he can take a break. Until then, like, this is just like, you know, a nice way to like build this. Once he's done with that, he's probably going to be over with that and go back to his gimmick.
Yeah.
Analogy.
It's that sort of solid storytelling that I like that AEW does, where they don't necessarily have to hammer it in with the commentators always saying, oh my God, he's being worn down. Like, you see it in the matches and the way the stories are told within the matches. And then, like, the commentators will eventually talk about it. But again, it's a thing where you are rewarded for paying attention visually to what's going on.
And again, another thing is that situation where, like you were saying, where they don't point it out all the time, but then they'll, once in a blue, they'll pop that up and they'll be like, oh, look at his hand. Or look at this, he's injured this, he's injured that, he's hurt here, he's hurt there. So it's like, you know, you get a little bit of like, oh shit, like there's a little worry there. But it's not a constant, oh my God, the hand, oh my God, this, oh my God, that, oh the knee, the leg. None of that. It's a slow little process and I fuck with it.
Yeah. But yeah, also shout out to Daniel Garcia doing the bank statement.
Stomping his hand. I feel you, but at the same time, Stop fucking dancing. I'm gonna
kill. Yeah, the dancing was
when
crazy.
When it came to the ending of the match, you could see the defeat of Garcia's face when he's like, I thought I had that shit right there in the bag. He had that face where like, oh, I'm really upset now. Like, I gotta get back to sports entertaining too much, bro. Because you know, there are moments where, you know, even if we always say, oh, the heel's always fucking steal a win from the baby faces, but you know, there are one of those moments where it's like, yo, the heel got robbed here tonight. Like, holy shit.
You can see, you can side, you can Sakazaki.
Shouts out. we move on. We get a recap of Shida's return last week, the return of Hikaru Shida, and you know, the big swerve with the Outcast and everything. And then we get the Outcast who are pissed off. And they say, you know, of course Sheeta's not here this week. She's back in Japan. We want to lay out a challenge to her and Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter for a trios match. And Britt and Jamie pop up. They say, you know, she may not be here this week, but she's here in spirit. They got a Sheeta shirt on. And, you know, they say, we accept. We know Sheeta will be there next week. And the trios match is on. It's going to be the Outcast versus the Doctor, the Champ, and Holy Sheeta.
Thought we were going to get this at Double or Nothing, honestly. But if we're getting this next week, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. A few matches happening next week that I thought might have been for Double or Nothing.
Because like I was thinking like, all right, I feel like we're not building anything up with the women's championship. Like it's only just around the Outcast, Britt, fucking Jamie. And now we got Sheeta involved. So I was thinking to myself, okay, if we're not going to defend the title on the pay-per-view, we could at least get all six of these women to compete on the show, right? But we're doing this next week. I'm like, what? So what are we going to be doing? We got two more weeks left before
Jamie might defend it at the pay-per-view.
Let I know that.
Him but cook.
I know, but still, like 2 weeks? I could have been doing a build by now.
This is probably part of the build. Let him cook.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it could be the time where they say, all right, Ruby will get her title shot against Jamie at the pay-per-view. Maybe you're right, Six.
Even with TJ, Same way I've been telling him about this four pillar shit. And he's slowly growing into it. Let him cook.
I can see Ruby getting the shot at the pay-per-view just because I think you want to. I mean, you don't have to, but I do think you would like to save Saraya and Jamie Hayter for Wembley.
Speaking of let him cook.
Christian Cage and Luchasaurus come down to the ring to speak the gospel. It is noted immediately that Wardlow and Arn Anderson are not here. So Christian, waste no time. Detroit, you are literally the worst city in the country. You need to shut up and listen while I conduct business.
You know what's funny? He did this last year with Jungle Boy.
But wait, TJ, go ahead. Let him spit.
He says, listen, you want to know why I'm the number one contender to the TNT Championship? It's because I'm Christian Cage. That's why I'm the number one contender. When your name has the cachet that mine does, you can walk into the boss's office and you can get the shot. But Tony, let me ask you a question. What's with all these daddy issues here in AEW?
Jesus, he ain't even learned his lesson. How is he alive? He didn't talk all that shit, right? Then you sent him to hell, and I was like, that's where he belonged, Jesus. Thank you for sending him to hell. And then he gonna crawl out of hell with this motherfucking dinosaur looking like the motherfucking Power Rangers coming out of the fire. What the flying fuck is going on over here? How you letting this man do all this shit, Jesus? Jesus, I can't wipe my ass sideways without some bullshit happening to me. You gonna tell me this motherfucker gonna come out here and talk about motherfuckers' daddies all night and all day, and then this motherfucker gonna be like, well, you know what? I would talk about his daddy, but his daddy ain't even famous. You gonna let him say it?
Foul. Foul, that's what he said. He said, you know, I'm not even gonna talk about your dad, but your dad's not even famous.
Foul, bro.
Well, you found the dad, you found the father figure in Arn Anderson, who just so happened to be looking for a new son. And then I got shook because I was like, Christian, no, Jesus, don't. But then he just started talking about Brock. So I was like, oh, okay.
Because, his son just passed away, my nigga. What the fuck?
I was like, Christian,
bro.
No, that's too far.
Jesus.
He didn't go there. He talked about Brock.
But you know, he wanted a good. That's where he was got. Jesus.
The fact that he even said it like that, you knew. But yeah, luckily, Christian did not go there with Arn. He just says, you know, you got your son here, Brock, who you discarded to the side once you saw the gravy train and Wardlow come along. Because, you know, you're a liar. You're a hypocrite. And, you know, he buries Arn as a fucking legend. He says, you know, you're a legend according to other people. But are you really a legend if you're the other guy in a tag team with Tully Blanchard? If you're Ric Flair's lapdog for the majority of your career? You know, Arn, how many world titles have you won, huh? How many?
Zero? Damn.
I'm a multi-time world champion. It's like, damn. He says, Wardlow, you're going to step in this ring. You're going to look me in the eyes. I'm going to slap you in the face. And you're going to realize that your days as champion are over. The crowd is in a fucking frenzy at this point. They're chanting, Edge is better. He got them so mad they're lying. That's crazy. He got them so mad they're lying.
They're not happy with this, bro. God.
I've been sitting here this whole time when I'm watching this promo. It got so dark. I actually chuckled a little bit. I'm like, yo, what is wrong with me? I can't be laughing about this shit. This man is talking about fucking dead daddies and shit. And now I'm bringing
dead
up
dead daddies and dead sons, this motherfucker.
This man is on his big boss man shit. Yo, dead daddy.
Hey, my daddy.
At least this motherfucker's getting that shit over than what boss man tried. That shit got him a title shot? Aw, come on.
Bro, Christian Cage is so goddamn good. This man is the GOAT. He is so good.
He went out there and literally just fucking talked his shit uninterrupted and walked the fuck out. Like, now, I'm over here like, how Jesus ain't fucking throw a lightning bolt at his ass, I do
like,
not
no matter how loud the crowd gets, he's always in control. Like,
crazy.
Now, looking at Luchasaurus in full form with the lighting in the ring, lovely. Love the red. Love the shoulder pad. It looks so fucking menacing. Like, he looks like an actual kaiju monster.
He looks like a former member of the Ascension.
He looks like, he looks like a re...
the damn shoulder pad just immediately. I'm like, man, ain't Victor have the same outfit?
TJ, it looks like one of us gave him a superstar trainer's card and told him to be gone for a while. And look what we got. Look what we got back. Right. So
he's ready now, brother.
He's fucking ready. His popularity is up. His stamina is at 100. His morals is content at this point. Let's go. Let's get this ready guy ready cook. Up and
see,
running.
But now when you put him, now when you put him in GM mode, he going to cost more.
My contract in the AEW is up at the end of the week. I demand 157,000. Yo. Now, if we had a million, understandable. But we holding 600K here. We can't do that. How about 87,000?
We done maxed out already. Fuck.
Yeah. Come on now. You're a dinosaur. What you need all that money for? Yes.
All
Darby.
X Game Bam Margera.
He, we're going to his house. We get a look at his home life with his people where, you know, the place where he did that crazy fucking stunt in his car is now like he turned it into a little skate park.
That was so our weird guy, how you opened X it. Games how you opened the show. Oh, this is where I jumped my car off the roof.
Yeah.
Into a fucking trailer. I'm like, and they show the video clip. I'm like, yo, how are you breathing still? Like, this is basically the Bam Margera of wrestling without the drugs, without the alcohol, without the fucking goons and shit.
I liked how humble he actually came off in this. Like, he came off super humble in this. Like, he was like, you know, this company has given me so much when I had nothing. Yeah. So when I become world champion, I want to give back. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, growing up with almost nothing and all his different outlets. And it shows those different things that he does along the video package, the skateboarding, the stunts, all that crazy stuff. Yeah. And just with Darby giving this heartfelt speech, like, I actually really like this.
And he says, he starts it all with, this is my training. Skating, dirt biking, off-roading, crazy shit. I'm like, don't you take a bump, though?
I mean, yes.
Why take a bump on a ring when I could take a bump in a car?
And then while he's saying all that, it shows him jumping off the fucking ladder. I think it was when he faced Jeff Hardy into the fucking. My God.
And he really is the modern generation Jeff Hardy. He has taken the best of Sting and Jeff and like combined them into this one package. So that's what Darby, he may not win the world title that Double or Nothing, but I feel like he might have to be world champ down the line because he's definitely got that special something.
It would be my second option if we do predictions. It would most likely be MJF or Darby. Not that I don't see Sammy winning it because it's not his time. Maybe Jungle Boy if it was believable enough, but I don't know. I feel like Darby and MJF are like the 50-50 option.
If I were to take the title off MJF in this match, the guy I'd put it on would be Darby.
Yeah, but you know damn well this man ain't losing that belt. He's going to probably end up going up against whoever comes out of that, what do you call it, that Elite and BCC battle. I think that's who's going to end up being his next guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kenny or Moxley again?
Or Danielson again.
Yeah, or Claudio, shit.
Or Claudio, shit.
Wow. You got thinking, three guys I'm that really could go and wrestle for that world title.
I'm thinking maybe Jackson.
I'm really thinking it could possibly be Adam Cole that's next.
Or a returning Hangman Page.
I do think Cole is getting a shot at the world title very soon. I think they're going to build Cole up first with his Jericho feud, obviously. But that I think too, once he's done too. With that, he's going for the world title.
Because all Adam Cole really needs to say to MJF, like, you know what makes Adam Cole so special? They ring the fucking bell. And that's it. Yeah. That's it. MJF can't say shit after that.
Yes, Anna Jay versus Julia Hart. No holds barred. Julia Hart's entrance fucking rules.
She's singing the fucking song, TJ. How do you feel?
Take that, I love it.
She's Scarlett Bordeaux. Nah, what happened, Scarlett Bordeaux?
It's everything that Scarlett isn't because it's natural. That's why I like it.
She is just so lip sync while this girl is actually singing this shit. It's like, and I'm looking at this, I'm like,
way that Julia comes out, like it's like she's leading the choir with this shit. Like I'm here, like it's not like clear choreographed movements. Julia's taking ownership of that shit. That's why I like Julia's entrance.
to me, I like it because it's spooky, spooky, scary, scary. That's my thing.
Yes.
My thing is that it feels like she's being like this evil, dark character. And it's almost like a witch doing a seance and shit. Like, that's why I feel like it works for her.
Yeah. But we come back from break. Anna drops Julia on a stack of chairs outside. She fights her up top. And then they go in the ring and set the stack of chairs up. And then she superplexes her onto the stack of chairs. She locks in the Heartless. And Anna Jay fights. But she's forced to submit. And Julia gets
the
W.
They kind of missed that stack of chairs, by the way.
Yeah, they low-key did. The one on the outside landed flush, but the one on the inside, she low-key
did. Julia Hart did get injured when she landed on the chairs on the outside. So like, she dislocated her hip, but she still fought on throughout the whole match. Even doing that superplex, I'm just like...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, because came back from the break, and then they went to the finish, essentially.
I was pretty shocked to actually see, you know, Julia Hart come out with that upset beating, and I'm like, really? So we're really pushing this girl, huh? Like, she...
Yeah, I think this match was set up to show how much Julia has improved as a total complete package. Like, we know the hardcore matches are basically, at this point, low-key Anna Jay's specialty. Like, those are the matches she cooks in the most. And they put her in there with Julia, I think, to give Julia a big win because Anna's established in those matches.
There's only one negative that I could say about this match is felt pretty short.
Because of the injury, probably.
Yeah. Like, you know, well, I could maybe it was the injury, but I feel like there could have been more here. But I
mean, if you're hurt, you're hurt.
Yeah,
and that is what it is. There's no more after that.
But Julia did fight through that injury, though.
Yeah, I also like how the commentators put over during you know, the whole beginning of the match where they were talking about, oh, you know, these girls used to be like besties. They used to be best friends, and now they're bitter enemies and rivals. And you know, even though they're both heels. You know, in this match, you were kind of going a little bit for both of them. So it had a strange dynamic. You know, they had all these cool weapons and stuff going on. So I feel like it ended up turning into a decent match.
Now we got Renee with the best friends and Bandido. Chuck and Trent and Bandido are challenging the House of Black for the trio titles. So Renee, she's like, all right, so you got this house rules match, this open house. What is your final stipulation? Because you get to choose it. And then they're like, Chuck's like, oh, yeah, we came up with the best stipulation. Tell them, Orange. And then Orange is like, you didn't tell me anything. I don't know. And then Chuck is like, oh, well, how about that spooky chick was out there. She distracted me. And then Trent was like, all right, you know what? I've got the stipulation. Spooky witches are banned from ringside.
Not like they needed her, but
that wasn't even in one of the five rules that was offered to them.
Right, they was like, you can make whatever rule you want. They said Julia is bad. She is scary.
Idiots. Some people online were getting upset about that. They were saying that basically it makes it diminishes the whole idea of you know, this match, and they kind of made fun of it a little bit. But I disagree. I think it's just fucking the best friends being the best friends and just being funny as they are.
Yeah.
I imagine like a different team is probably going to pick like a more serious stipulation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that it's like the first match that they're doing. And some of the people are like, man, this should be a joke. Look. But, you know, I feel like you got to, you know, give shit time. And eventually you'll see that it's worth it.
Yeah. So Julia's banned, which she's probably fine with because she got to recharge her spooky witch powers.
Mm-hmm. She's injured.
Yeah. And then Orange is, you know, Renee turns to Orange like, hey, how you feeling, Orange? And Orange is like, I'm very tired, Renee. And he bends over like, damn, man. And then Renee's like, I understand. Same. Now we got the Trios Championships on the line. Open house match. The best friends and Bandido, the best amigos versus the House of Black. The House of Black, they have kind of spooky, but not really spooky lighting for this match.
Now, you know what I call it? That's NXT main event lighting.
It essentially is. It is.
Yep.
Like, because, you know, I was thinking about how, all you know, when you do spooky lighting in wrestling, that never really works. Like the Kane shit, the Fiend shit, the whatever.
Nah, it gave it a New Japan vibe.
Yeah. With this, it's more, it's not them changing the lighting to some bright color that obscures the view. It's just them dimming the lights and spotlighting the ring.
Yep. So it actually brings the wrestling more to the forefront.
Yeah. So it kind of works in that sense.
I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
The more I looked at it, the more I liked it.
I just wish they didn't like bring the lighting back up more, because that's when it was starting to show the crowd again.
That's when it was a little, it started to look more New Japan versus the NXT, you know, because in NXT main event lighting, you know, when they have the two opponents in the center of the ring, they give the, you know, this nice ominous look where everything is all black around them. And then all you see is the ring.
Yeah.
But in this case, it started off like that. And then slowly throughout the, you know, throughout the match, they brought the lights up a little bit, which gave it more of a New Japan vibe.
Yeah, like I wasn't feeling that. But one thing that I'll enjoy that I liked is that they got new color on the belts. It's all black and silver, and they have the House of Black logos on the side plates, which fucking dope. Love it.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
AEW, where they love NXT fans more than NXT does.
Yes. So we got a triple team from the Best Amigos, but Brody King comes in and shuts all that fun shit down going into the picture-in-picture. We come back from Pip with Trent hitting Buddy with a big tornado DDT, but with no one to tag, he has to cover for a near fall, and Orange is watching from the back like they're forcing him to stand there and look at that monitor when he just wants to sit down. Like,
yeah.
He's just standing there like...
Look, we're positioned. Look at the monitor. Yeah. Here we go.
I'm so tired.
You know, it's funny,
this is Orange Cassidy here in AEW.
Happens is in AEW, the moment that you turn around is when shit happens.
True.
And I guess he must have turned around later on, but we'll talk about that later.
True. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Oh, God.
Bandito gets the hot tag and runs wild before Buddy cuts him off midair with a huge knee. And then the House follows up with Dante's Inferno, and they get the W. And then we cut to the back where Orange Cassidy has been laid out by Aussie Open's Kyle Fletcher, who holds up his belt and then he holds up his other belts. Like, this man trying to get belted up out here.
Yep. He's holding the international championship and he's holding a few New Japan titles.
New Japan strong tag team belts and the IWGP heavyweight title, tag team title.
Yep. And then as he's doing this, he goes, Aussie. The crowd replies with, oi, oi, oi. So that was kind of nice.
Yes. Aussie's in the building, and looks like he's coming for that international title.
He's the only one there. I'm like, where's everybody else?
And with these Aussie Open boys popping up, and with what goes on in the main event, we're going to have to talk about what might be going on here in a little bit. But let's move on to the Jungle Boy video package. I like this one too. Nice use of the GOAT, Christian Cage, who talks about Jungle Boy in his package. He says, you know, I picked Jungle Boy because I thought he had the most talent of all of the pillars. And even now, I stand by that. He says, if Jungle Boy can get his head out of his ass, he can and will become world champion. I like that, even though, you know, they ended up beefing. Christian was still like, nah, I still believe in him. He just got to get his head out of his ass.
So he got dug back from the grave just to be a talking head in this segment.
That's why he's alive again. We need Christian to talk about Jungle Boy. Go to hell and
Jesus,
get him.
Jesus was like, I'm not. Are you really fuck doing it. This? You know what he's gonna do, right?
Yeah.
You know he's gonna start his shit again, right? You know. And then they're like, Tony was like, please, Jesus, I just need him to do this gimmick.
King Yama was like, send him the Baba, give him the 24-hour treatment.
Yep. Just give me some nice mahogany.
Yep.
Mahogany.
But yeah, I like what Jungle Boy said in this. Jungle Boy was just like, you know, I never wanted to go out there and sing show tunes. I wanted to be the best wrestler in the world. And, you know, I may dislike all three of these guys on a different level, but I think... we all have one thing in common, and that's that we're all determined performers, and that's going to go in and make for a special match at Double or Nothing.
He wanted to be the best wrestler. Yes. He's the bestler.
Yes.
Better than all the wrestlers.
Now we got Ricky Starks, absolute Ricky Starks. He cuts a promo saying he's sick of Bullet Club, and next week he finally gets his hands on Jay White to prove that he is the true legend in the making.
Look. I'm not sick of Bullet Club, but I am sick of Juice Robinson. So I feel you on this.
Look, if you want to fight this man, just go and fight him.
I mean, I don't know where he'd be at sometimes, but He don't be around. He don't be around me. You feel me?
He got to catch him lacking.
Yeah, he got to come. He got to come to my hood, and then you know.
Next Queen show.
We'll pull up with the ops.
It looks like there's been enough talk.
It's time
for the main event. In a steel cage. Moxley versus Kenny Omega. The two guys in AEW. Probably the two most important. I mean, Jericho too, but probably the two most important guys in terms of being top guys. Like these, it's always special when Mox and Omega wrestle each other.
The top two guys in AEW, honestly.
Yeah.
Until Punk comes back.
Like, yeah, did Jericho and Punk and you know, those guys also are very important. But I think, like, when it comes to just, like, guys that when the chips are down, when you need something special, I think the guys you think of when it comes to AEW, number one and number two are Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just saw Dave. I just fucking saw Dave. So it's during that one, because we all know how this starts. The bell didn't fucking ring. The match didn't start yet. They're fighting on the fucking ramp. And during that ramp, within that distance, out of nowhere, you can see a wild Dave from the Pro Wrestling Podcast make an appearance.
I'm going to find him.
He's like behind a bunch of other fucking people just standing up throughout the whole show. I'm like, God damn, take a seat.
But now, yes, Mox versus Omega. Mox meets Kenny on the ramp and they get to throwing hands. The rest of the BCC joins the fray, but that brings out the Young Bucks, who take out Claudio and Yuta before approaching Danielson at the commentary desk. But then the numbers take over. They take out Matt Jackson. Nick goes over to the table. He's looking at Danielson. He's like, you watch this, you fucker. And then he runs over to the stage and dives off of it on top of the BCC.
Dive!
Facts. And then security shows up to break it up. And they eventually take all the guys to the back. And then, you know, Mox and Omega finally enter the cage. Omega's in the cage and he's like, let's go, Mox, get the fuck in here. And Mox is like, you wanna fucking go? Let's go. And Mox runs into the cage and we get this shit started.
By the way, I find it funny how fucking all this shit going on, all this security left, right, and center. Fucking Danielson is just chilling. Facts. He's the ringleader here. He's the one fucking calling all these shots.
He orchestrated and all this violence.
And he's sitting there just like, don't worry about me, I'm chilling.
So before the match even started, before he gets in the cage, why was the security holding Moxley back?
That's what I was
going to
say. Like, they were even holding Mox back. Like, what the fuck?
He's participating in this punch.
Yeah. You can even see Kenny in the ring like, get the fuck out of the way. Let him come in.
He's like, got to wrestle. We got a match. Let's go. Yes, man. I don't understand kayfabe-wise where that was going, because it's like, bruh,
bizarre.
He is a part of this match. What are you doing? Go handle all the other people who are still fighting.
Yeah.
You dumbasses.
Let him go in the cage. This is why y'all be getting your asses beat all the time.
Exactly, because y'all security. Motherfuckers ain't even paying attention to the right people. Shit.
So now here we go. Mox and Omega, they enter the cage. It begins. Omega gets out a barbed wire chair and takes it to Mox, unlocking the blood.
Yep, and as Danielson said, Jon Moxley does not wake up until he starts bleeding. Yes.
And sure enough, I love how that's legit in Jon Moxley matches. Once he starts bleeding, he takes over on offense. Like, he
turns the fuck up, bro.
You've unlocked my true power now, you fool. Yep.
It's the equivalent of Cassidy putting his hands in his pockets.
Yes.
Yeah, this is truly my final form. I'm bleeding.
Blood everywhere. Yeah.
Gets a boost.
He's a villain.
Facts, evil.
Sven is a villain, bro. He just, yeah.
Like, fucking
evil, bro. You evil. Go away. Yeah.
With that shit.
He gonna have to put on your t-shirt from the video games, TJ.
Facts, super evil. We go to commercial. If you were lucky enough to catch the fight feed, you could see Jon Moxley fucking fighting with the turnbuckle to take it off.
He took forever.
For no reason. Yo, I watched the fight feed. He's there cranking, pulling, yanking, trying to left, right. Bro, no, they don't go nowhere.
That was like during the whole commercial break. He was just like trying to yank, like unscrewing it and then trying to yank that shit off and then trying to yank the other part off. I'm like, this is taking forever.
By the time the crowd again, he's
the
got
crowd
it.
Already caught on. Yeah.
Watching the fight feed is fucking great, bro. Yo, just watching him just really like, fuck. And then Kenny Omega even gets up at one point. He's like, no. Then he goes back to his shit.
Stay down. This is not part of the spot.
Sit your ass. He's like, I know, nigga, but I've been out for a hot minute. Come on.
We had to reset. So yeah, he finally gets it before we come back. And you know, if you wouldn't have seen that, you wouldn't have known. But yeah, that was what most of the break was spent doing.
Yep.
But he's got the buckle now and he's just beating Kenny Omega with the turnbuckle, which
yep.
it looks crazy. And then it makes me realize, like, yo, ain't they taping Rampage after this?
Damn. They got to take off the pads anyways.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I switched it to the Rampage once. They were like, hey, all right.
I guess he helped him out a little bit.
See, now would have been a good time to use the red, white, and blue fucking ropes because you could have changed them.
True.
Facts.
But John, he goes under the ring and brings out a bag, not of thumbtacks, but of broken glass. So now he lays out the broken glass in a ring. He goes to Kenny. Kenny cuts him off with a monster V-trigger, then goes for the one-winged angel, but Mox counters into a bulldog choke. Kenny has no choice but to fall back to counter, and he does, and he falls back onto the glass. So now Mox, he lets go. He's got the glass in his back, but then he just pops right back up and puts Kenny back in the choke. Again, like that level of pain just unlocks new power within Mox. He's a Saiyan.
He is impervious to deathmatch pain.
Yes.
At this point, John Moxley's pain tolerance is pretty fucking high from what we've seen. In AEW, GCW, CZW, his pain tolerance is off the fucking charts.
The more violent you get, the stronger he gets.
Yep.
So now he's got Kenny with the choke on, with the glass in his back. He goes for a pile driver, but Kenny rolls through, hits the V-trigger one more time. Kenny goes for a double, then hits the snap dragon. Mm-hmm. Mox backs over to the side of the cage, and then Kenny runs over off the ropes, hits a V trigger, and they crash through the wall, which fucking breaks down, and they end up on the outside of the ring. And that does
hip spot was absolutely fucking scary.
Crazy spot.
Both of these men could have walked out of here with an injury. Like, John Moxley's foot was caught into the bottom of the cage right after he got hit with the V-trigger. Kenny almost looked like he almost tore a muscle when he was like in between the fucking rod of the cage and shit, holding on for dear life. Like, how did these two men not get injured after that sick-ass spot? Yes. And oh yeah, take that, Lashley and you, Manga.
You, Manga.
These men broke through the side of the cage, ended up on the outside, but that did not end the match because escape is for cowards. We don't do that shit over here in AEW.
We don't do that in AEW.
That, also, that I enjoyed the most because I'm like, wait, there's no escape rules?
Yeah, no escape rules. Yeah.
No, because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, we're still going with this. Yes, we're still going to go.
For a minute, you were like, ah, damn it, this is Paul White, Steve Austin all over again.
Yeah.
It's Paul White! It's power.
Because sometimes I'd be forgetting, like, they don't really explain to me the rules of these steel cage matches. Like, they tell us the first time when they did Warlow versus Cody. Now they want us to remember, oh, there's no escape rules in these matches.
Every cage there hasn't been escape rules, so I don't know.
Yeah, they've never done it. They don't do it.
They've never done it. They don't do that shit. So, see, TJ and I, you know, we fucking basically go through these shows, you know, with a fine tooth comb. So we fucking know this shit at this point. But, you know, I get where Hazel's coming from.
they break through the wall and they get to the outside. And the primary function of this was to get Mox to the toolbox to get the screwdriver.
Yes.
Which he grabs. He's got Kenny in the ring again, ready to take it to him. But in comes Don Callis.
Yes.
Grabs it away. Like, you will not do this to my family, Kenny Omega, the god of pro wrestling.
Yep.
And Kenny hits the one-winged angel. And as we know, nobody kicks out of the one-winged angel. So he covers for the one, two. Don Callis stabs Kenny in the head with the screwdriver.
You know what blew it for me?
What?
I saw him walking closer from the corner of the camera, and I was like, oh, shit.
Once I saw Don behind Kenny in the cage and that he, like, didn't completely back away, I was like, oh, this is where it's happening.
Once you see him coming from the corner of the camera, you're like, oh, not now.
So I wanted to open the show with this, and I couldn't, so I'm gonna say it now. Submitted to the approval of the Rival Mania Show, this is the return of the fucking Jackal.
The Jackal.
I was going to say, According to what he just did, this is Cyrus the virus right now. He's a motherfucking virus right now. Ew.
This, like, what was that stupid word that he said in the WWF with that long ass speech? What was it? T word? What is it?
See, you fucked that up one guy, of my lines. I was going to be
he's
like,
he's one of those assholes.
He took out Kenny because he thought he was a troglodytic moron.
That guy is a troglodytic asshole. Like the troglodytic asshole that he is, he takes the screwdriver and stabs the head of the man that he considered family, his fucking nephew and shit.
Listen,
and he kisses him on the forehead, whispers something in his ear, and he's like, what did he whisper into his ear?
Yes.
He was about to hit him again with the goddamn screwdriver, and that's what stopped him. And again, I just feel like he was looking at him like, fucking troglodyte. But yes, you know, it's a part of this Cyrus the Virus Jackal situation going on. And I feel like, look, man, Cyrus, let me holler at you right quick. The moment that I saw you not defending Adam Hangman Page, I saw this coming. The moment that I saw you take the entire mic over from Kenny Omega, right? I knew this was going to happen. You've been coming out here telling Kenny Omega that he needs to become the version of himself that he once was. And he kept saying, oh, no, that Kenny's coming back. But I don't know, maybe to Don Callis, that Kenny never came back. And then he's got the entire BCC who they're out here talking about, nah, we out here already bettering ourselves. And I think Don Callis was listening. So I knew this was coming here. So it's just the timing. I was like, oh, but I knew it.
Now, yes.
You know, like, I think this is.
Go ahead, Hazel.
This is what I think this is. Because one, this does raise a lot of questions, and Six may have had some of the answers here. Where does this go with Hangman? Where does Takeshita fit in all this?
Perfect.
When is
perfect
Kota,
and perfect.
When is Kota making his debut?
He coming.
Now.
This is perfect possibly, because they kind of now have forced Takeshita to kind of be a part of the BCC here.
Yeah.
Think about it. And then now, if you over here talking about Kota Ibushi, if he does end up coming back along with Hangman Page, this is looking to be one of the best blood and guts matches we've ever seen.
So that means we get the return of the Golden Elite, or is it just going to be Kenny and Kota split, like Kenny leaving the Elite silently to join up with Kota to do the Golden Lovers reunion, and then we have Hangman somehow be somewhat the leader of the Elite with the Bucks
for
the time being?
If you got Takeshita joining the BCC, that's five, correct?
Yep.
Which means you got Nick, you got Kenny, and you got Matt, and then join the other two. That's five.
The Golden Elite.
Yep.
Feel
five
me?
5-on-5.
Blood and Guts or Canadian, what is it? Fucking Stadium Stampede or
Anarchy in the arena. Yeah.
We can do all
I'm
those
still
shits.
Going with the whole Blood and Guts shit. Because, I mean, we could do it after Double or Nothing, I presume, because this is not going to be over.
Yeah, no, this is definitely going past Double or Nothing at this point. Yo, this feud is too big. It's too much
Nigel
going on.
If Nigel don't come out and say Blood and Guts, though.
But also, this is Moxley getting his win back from the Winter is Coming event when he lost the title to Kenny.
Yes.
With Don Callis getting involved, and that's when the whole TNA shit got involved and whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah, this is Moxley getting his win back on this match.
And look at the parallel to that match. Don Callis helps Kenny in that match, and he runs off and then won't do an interview and runs off like, I'll give you the answers. Blah, blah, blah. And the same thing happens here. Don Callis screws over Kenny Omega this time, and then he runs off, won't answer an interview. He was on the phone this time.
See how everything now fucking comes full circle?
And it's interesting, you know, maybe this is Don seeing that the BCC is maybe the side he should be on. Or maybe this is Don hitching his horse to, you know, someone else.
Yep.
With
is this irony?
With Kyle Fletcher showing up, with these Aussie boys showing up, with Kenny Omega having clear unfinished business with one William Ospreay. Could Don Callis be hitching to a younger, fresher horse in the game?
Mm. Are we finally going to see the Canadian Gato in AEW?
I mean, he's already
more or less.
He was already the invisible hand. You might as well just start calling this motherfucker the mastermind.
That's the type of time. Yeah, and that's the thing with Don Callis. He always portrays himself to be a mastermind. So who knows what his next move is going to be?
Fucking jackal.
The damn jackal.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Dynamite.
Yes, a strong show, I thought, that leaned into what AEW does best, which is strong in-ring, variety across the board, solid pay-per-view build, big TV matches, a big TV twist, which folds into a big TV show coming next week with, of course, yes, a big, big, big announcement.
A return to form, so to say.
Yes.
I really enjoyed the hell out of this show for what they tried to pull off here. All the surprises, the return of Miro, the return of Thunder Rosa, Kyle Fletcher getting his shot at the International Championship. And we know how the trope goes. He's going to have a match at Rampage. He's going to win it. And then Wednesday, when that time comes, we all know where that's going.
Yes.
It's only to build him up to make him look good in order to face Orange, but we all know the outcome. I enjoyed what they provided us here for the 2 hours on Wednesday. Again, I did feel like the Four Pillars promo with everyone competing in the four-way felt kind of forced, but it was a little nice that they did that. We didn't have to see them on TV every week.
Man, this show was good. This show cooked.
This show legit cooked. Besides the returns, the shock of the night, Don Callis doing the unthinkable. That right there just proves what a jackal this man really is, showing off his true colors. And we're going to see next week why he did what he did. And hopefully we get some matches going forward. I gave the show, honestly, a goat. This is one of the best shows throughout all this week. And fuck Raw. This show was the best. This is the best show.
I'm not trying to poo-poo on people because I know how butthurt these motherfuckers get. But, you know, Raw was okay, but this was better.
Yeah. Raw was tolerable. I always say that. And TJ always hears me say this. Raw is tolerable for what they provide me for the 3 hours that I watch it for.
Right now,
it's not like there's anything. Yeah, it's not like any. It's not like even if it was Vince McMahon, is there anything good on Monday to watch besides fucking wrestling? I'd rather watch wrestling than anything else that they're going on Monday.
I make that
besides
good shit.
Sports, what? I'm going to watch what? America's Got Talent? I'm going to watch the Kardashians? I'm going to watch some bullshit show on MTV?
Man, no, I'd rather watch fucking old episodes of WCW.
Well, yeah, that too. If I didn't have legal channels and I only had a streaming service, then yeah, I'd watch old WCW shit. That would be my Mondays. But I'd rather tolerate 3 hours of fucking Raw like you guys can't.
Yeah, no.
I could never.
No way.
I did Raw 30 and that was about it. And I was at work, so anything's better than work.
I ain't built for that Raw life no more.
Nah.
Especially now if Bayley not there.
Yeah. Now Katie got you literally forcing you to watch SmackDown. You have no choice.
But you see, he gets to see the booty.
He gets to see good shit on SmackDown. That's Roman's good shit, gonna be pal. On tomorrow.
That's good shit, pal.
No, Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief. Yeah.
Good He's shit, gonna be there tomorrow.
I'll check him out. I like Roman Reigns.
All right, fellas, cool. let's wrap this up. TJ, let him know where to find us.
Yes, indeed. You already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at RambleMania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at RambleMania, Facebook.com/RambleMania Show. Also find our group there, RambleMania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers, podcasters, everybody that we associate with post all our goings on and all that's going down. Far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast, everywhere your podcasts are found, search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. Far as the visuals, twitch.tv/RambleMania Show. We are on Spotify Video. We are on YouTube. Search RambleMania Show or Banter Club. And when you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when the new content drops, it goes straight to you. And that's for me personally. Find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great.
TJ the Great.
You damn right.
You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, the letter X, the letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at S double I double X. Ain't I great? That is at SIIXX. You're already. Also, you can find us on TikTok at Ramble Mania Show, where we take clips from all of these shows that we make and we post them out there for all of years.
This fucking cat scratching my goddamn door. You can find me on... fucking devil cat. You can find me on Instagram at iZombies, double I-Z-O-M-B-I-I-E-S-Z. And check out all the streaming services that I be doing live weekly. And check out our Ramble Mania Tuesday show. We give tribute to Jerry Springer. It's up on YouTube, Twitch, and all of your other media platforms. Go check that out now.
Man, I'm about to make a Come Tuesday background, and y'all gonna have to call it Come Tuesday.
Come Tuesday. Tuesday. It's gonna be Come Tuesday TV. And stay tuned for the next Come Tuesday TV next Tuesday, where me and TJ will be watching either some anime or some other shit.
We'll figure it out.
Come Tuesday.
Yes.
I'd be winging it. Come
Tuesday. But for TJ the Great, for the Angel of Death 6XL, I am Hazel the Eye Zombie. This has been Banter Club's weekly Dynamite recap. We would like to wish all of you a pointing goodies.
A too sweet
and a good fight and a good night.